சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாப்யாம் நம. ஸ்லோகா 16. பிரம்மைவ நித்யம் அன்யத்தோ ஹ்யநித்யமிதி வேதனம் சோயம் நித்யாநித்யவஸ்து விவேக இதி கத்யதே. விவர் seeing this shloka in the last webinar. Where there is duality, they are all anityam. Shastram itself teaches advaita, dvaita or brahma, prapancha, viveka, pratyaksha pramanam, agama pramanam, all that. And Shankaracharya in his Pariksha Lokan commentary, he says all these different pramanas can teach us these lessons. But what is the third pramanam? That alone is highlighted in these shlokas. And what is the logic or reasoning is what we were seeing. Karya karana vivekaha. We have done this earlier. We have to remember that now. When you have got a karanam, for example, a lump of gold and many products in the form of ornaments, we saw the four features of the karana. What are the four features? They are ekam, sara, nitya, satyam. So these are the four features of the karana. And four features of the karyam also. What are the four features of the karyam? Aneka, asara, anitya, asatyam. Here ekam, saram. Saram is substantial. Nityam, that alone is relevant to us. Satyam. So, Svatantraha Sattahaha. So, it is Ekasara Nitya Satyam Karanam, that is the essence. Ekasara Nitya Satyam. We have seen this in great detail earlier. Now, before ornaments came, gold was. And where the ornaments are, gold is. And when ornaments are melted also, gold will continue. So, Trikale Api Gold Tishtati. Trikale api ornaments abharanam na tishtati. They don't. So once we have learned this logic, we can apply this vyapti. Yatra yatra karanatvam, tatra tatra nityatvam. Yatra yatra karyatvam, tatra tatra anityatvam. This is the vyapti. So the entire world is a product, is a karyam which came. According to Shastram and modern science also, the world is a product. We say Srishti. And science says Big Bang and all that. Thereafter, time and space evolved. And then came everything else. Therefore, the whole universe is karyam. And if it is a karyam, there must be a karanam. And we don't know what it is. The scriptures name that karanam as Brahman or Ishwaraha. So, Ishwaraha karanam, prapanchaha karyam. Based on this knowledge, we can make two inferences. Anumanam. Brahma Nityam Karanatvat. Like what? Swarnatvat. Like gold. Then Prapanchaham Anityam Karyatvat. That is Abharanavate. Thus Pratyaksha Pramanam, Shruti Pramanam and Anumana Pramanam, they give me Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivekaha. Up to this we saw in the last class. Now let us go to Shloka 17. Mridhadikaranam Nityam த்ரிஷு லோகேஷு தர்ஷனாத் த்ரிஷு காலேஷு தர்ஷனாத் கடாத்ய நித்யம் தத் காரியம் யதஸ்தன்னாஷ ஈக்ஷ்யதே. So first, Acharya explains the mridhadi karanam. Any caste like clay, gold, all that thing, they are all nityam. Why? த்ரிஷு காலேஷு தர்ஷனாத். Because they are all there in all three periods of time. And what are the three periods of time? Before the products came, during the existence of the product, and after the products are dissolved. So, karya utpattehe purvam, karya avasthana kale, karya nasha anantaram, this is called trishu kalesho, darshanat. So, what is the conclusion? Ghatati anityam. Part etc. is anityam. Etc. means ornaments, furniture, all of them. So, anityam. Tat karyam. So, yathu karyam, tathu anityam. Why? Tannashaha. Ikshyate means we are experiencing, we are seeing the destruction of all the products. we can either deliberately destroy or get it destroyed in the course of time also by usage, or when certain things are in some people's hands, they just get destroyed. This we'll experience. Therefore, this Vyapti Jnanam we have to extend to Brahman also and to the universe. Shloka 18. Yatai tatai vattajat jagat sarvam anityam brahma karyataham tatkaranam param brahma bhave nityam hridadivat. Tataiva. In the same way, as in the case of the example given earlier, yetat sarvam jagat. This entire universe is anityam. Why? Brahma karyataha, because it is a product of Brahman or Ishvara. Therefore, jagat anityam karyatvat ghatavat, like a pot. So, is the anumana vakyam. Now, the next anumanam is, with respect to Brahman, tat karanam brahma nityam bhavet. And Brahman, the karanam of tat, tat means the jagat, the universe, is nityam, it is permanent. And what is the example? Mudadivata, like the clay. Thus, anumana dvara api nitya nitya vastu vivekaha prapyate. So, that is the logic here again for this conclusion. Now, Acharya is going to say that sadhana chaturtaya sampattihi is a compulsory requirement on the part of the student's mind if Vedanta has to work. When we say Vedanta has to work, we mean receiving the teaching, not the words, but the message. Receiving the teaching, retaining the teaching, assimilating the teaching, and deriving the benefit of the teaching, all four. They happen only if qualifications are there. If they are not there, even the best guru is utterly helpless. Even Bhagavan will raise his hand saying that he cannot help. If Bhagavan could help, what he could have done? He could have helped all the seekers long ago. Bhagavan cannot do anything. Shankaracharya says in Viveka Shivadamani, when the father is carrying a load, son can help by taking the load off the father. If father has a loan many times, the load from load to loan, Swamiji very, you know, funnily puts that. So then son can take up the father's loan and say, I will pay back on behalf of my father. But when father is hungry, son cannot eat for the father. If the father is sick, son cannot take the medicine for the father, on behalf of the father. So there are certain things which one has to do oneself. Gaining knowledge of a job is to be done by the student only and student alone. No family member can help. No guru can help. Even Bhagavan cannot help. So student alone is responsible, and student alone, he decides whether he has to get moksha or not. Since these four qualifications are important, Shankaracharya wants to say that the student should pay 100% attention to these qualifications. Sadhanam chaturthaya sampattihi, even while he is going through shravanam. I pointed out as a side note last class, Vedanta Shravanam can help the qualified student and the unqualified student also in two different ways. For a qualified student, Vedanta becomes a pramanam, which will give knowledge itself. Whereas in the case of an unqualified student, Vedanta Shravanam can function as a purifying agent. He will be converted into a qualified student first. And so Vedanta Shravanam should be doubled. First, Vedanta Shravanam is for converting the unqualified to the qualified. And the second is to convert the qualified Ajnani student into a Jnani. So Vedanta Shravanam can give Punyam also. And we said there is a shloka which talks about the glory of Vedanta Shravanam. Even 1 minute of Shravanam is equal to Mahapunyam. We mentioned it in the last class, but we did not give the shloka. It's a very interesting shloka. I will give it now. Natante na samasta tirtha salile datta cha sarva avanihi yajnanam cha kritam samasta shastram akila devas cha sampujitaha samsaras cha samudrita svapitaraham trailokya pujya pujyo pisavum yasya brahma vicharane kshanamapi. Tairyam mana prapnuyat. Tatantena samasta tirtha shalile. For example, if a person 1 minute Vedanta Shravanam is equal to taking a bath, a dip in all the sacred waters without even travelling to those places. Just coming to webinar. Samasta tirtha shalile. Dattacha sarva avanihi. It is also equivalent to doing bhudanam, bhumidanam, in which the entire earth is given as danam to someone else. Normally, when people give bhudanam, these days nobody gives bhudanam at all. Even if they give, a small piece of land only they will give. But here, this person gives equal to the danam of the entire earth, sarva avani. And yajnanancha kritam sahasram, equal to the performance of thousands of yagas. Akila Devascha Sampujitaha is equal to the worship of all the Devatas. What is that? Vedanta Shravanam. And Samsarascha Samudrita Swapitar Pitraha. So, or even without doing Shraddham, Tarpanam, or Mahalayapaksham, all that thing, all the ancestors are all released from their bondage by this person. Swapitraha Samsarat Samudritaha. And not only that, Trailokya Pujyopi Asav. He becomes so great that he is worshipped by all in the three worlds. Who is this person? A person will get all these palam put together by doing what? Yasyam Brahma Vicharane Kshanamapi. Even if one kshanam, 1 minute, a small time of Brahma Vicharanam, Thairyam Manaha Prapuniyat. With a firm mind, if he gets it, that person achieves all that. So, if one kshanam of Vedanta Shravanam can give this much punyam, if you listen properly for 1 hour, every week, week after week, how much punyam will become available. Therefore, Vedanta Shravanam never goes waste. This is all for unqualified people who are not jnanis yet, but for qualified people, it is not punya prapti, but janma jnana prapti itself. So therefore, pay attention to the four qualifications for what? Jnana Prapti itself. The first one he has taken up is Viveka in this entire series. Here Viveka, Vairagya, Samadhi, Shatka, Sampatti, Mumukritvam, all that we saw earlier. So here first Acharya has taken up Viveka, differentiating between the Nityam and Anityam. And the most important message is that the entire world is Anityam. Abrahma Bhuvanan Lokaha Punaravartino Punartinaha Arjuna. There is only one Nitya Vastu, and that is called Ishwara in religious language. And if you want to call it in spiritual language, it's called Brahman. And we should know the difference between God and the world. And to know that God or Brahman is eternal, we have got only one Pramanam. To know God or Brahman is eternal, how many Pramanams are there? Only one Pramanam, namely the Shruti Pramanam. Because Brahman is not accessible to any other Pramanam. These are all things we know already. Therefore, this Brahmanityatvam is known only through Shruti Pramanam, Veda Pramanam. Anityatvam of the world, the impermanence of the world, that we can know through Shruti, Yukti and Anubhava. All these three we have discussed in detail in previous lectures. Shruti means Veda, Yukti and Anubhava. So our own experience shows how everything is Anityam. Our forefathers have gone. Parents are going or gone. And we ourselves are growing, graying and going also. Every minute we spend, we have aged by that minute. This is our own experience. This is Pratyaksha Pramana. Then Shruti Pramana. Veda says, Shruti Veda says, everything other than Brahman is also Alpam. Yovai Bhuma Tadamritam Tadanyate Sarvam Martyam. We saw it recently only in Chandogya. Finally, logic also proves Anityatvam of the world. And it is the logical reasoning that Acharya gives here. It is based on the principle, Yatu Karanam Tatu Nityam. Cause is Nityam. Because cause is there even before the product was created. Cause was there. It was Nityam. It is Nityam. So, cause continues when the product is. Cause will continue even after the product dissolves. Trikale api tishtati karanam. Whereas karyam is always anityam. Before origination, karyam was not there. After resolution, karyam will not be there. Before manufacture, karyam won't be there. After expiry, it won't be there. So only vartamane, vartamana kale asti, only in the present. So karyam anityam, karanam nityam is the vyapti. So we have to understand this very clearly. And based on that, we make two inferences also. Ishvaraha nityaha karanatvat mridhavat. See, like the clay, God is eternal, being the cause of everything. Like clay, which is relatively eternal, which is the cause of all earthen wares. And the second inference is, jagat is anityam, the world is impermanent. And what is the reason for that? Karyatvat, being a product. Like what? Ghatavat. So, that is the reasoning he gives, like the pot. So, if you look at the shloka, tathaiva yeta jagate sarvam anityam. The whole world is anityam. Why? Brahma karyataha. Because it is a product of Brahman. And if world is a product of Brahman, Brahman is the cause of the world. So, tat karanam param Brahma. The param Brahma, which is the karanam of the entire universe, is nityam. Is eternal, mridhadivat, like the clay. And the next question is, how do you know the world is born out of Brahman? This nitya mandal is fine. How do you know the world is born out of Brahman? If you ask, what is the pramanam for this? Shankaracharya says, Shruti alone is the pramanam. Vedas alone is the pramanam that is given in the next shloka we will read. Shloka 19. Sargam vaktyasya tasmadva etasmaditya pishrutihi sakashat brahmanas tasmat anityatvena samshayaha. Acharya, here he quotes the Shruti Pramanam, and in support of that, tasmadva etasmat. Actually, this should be in inverted commas, which comes in the Taittiriya Upanishad second chapter, in the first canto anuvaka. Tasmadva etasmad atmana akashas sambhutaha. This is the Shruti quotation from the Vedas, Taittiriya. But in this quote, the word, the Brahman, in this quote, the word Brahman actually here does not occur at all. From that the world is born. From that the world is born. That is what it says. From that. From that is a pronoun. What is the meaning of that? We don't know from this statement. So, Shankaracharya therefore fills it up that in the second line of the shloka, Brahmanaha Sakashat. So you have to connect it with the first line. The Sakashat that is there in the second line should be connected to the first line. Tasmadva etasmad Brahmanaha Sakashat. From that Brahman, and how do we know that the pronoun refers to Brahman? A pronoun can stand for any noun. For that, if you look at the context. If I talked about, for example, Rama for 10 minutes and said he everywhere, he refers to whom? Rama only, because it is contextual. Similarly, in Taittiriya Upanishad, it starts with Brahman, Brahmavit, Apnoti Param, Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma, Brahma, Brahma everywhere. It has talked about Brahman. And then the Upanishad uses the pronoun from that. Then the meaning of that is contextual. So Brahman. It becomes Brahman only. Therefore, Shankaracharya says, Etasmatam Brahmanaha Sakashat. That Sakashat, that indicates Upadana Karanam also there. Upadana Karanam. And from that, Asyam Sargam. Sargam here means origination. Origination. So, Sargam is all from the Puranic kind of usage in this place, many places. So, Sargam is origination of this. It's another pronoun. So this again is contextual, this entire universe. Pratyaksha gochara prapanchasya sargam. Sargam means utpattihi. And therefore, the world is a product. Whatever is a product, it has got a date of manufacture. And anything that has a date of manufacture will immediately have at the bottom date of expiry also. So what? World is anityam, anityatve na samshayaha. There is no doubt at all, na samshayaha. And the next sloka is also, actually it is in an abnormal meter. So we, Vishamavrittam and Samavrittam mandala I mentioned in the last, in one of the webinars earlier. So this is a Vishamavrittam, Vishamavrittam. So therefore, we have to read it like a prose only. Sarvasya nityatve sa avayavatvena sarvata siddhe vaikuntadishu nityatvam atirbhrama eva mudabuddhinam. In this sloka, Acharya refutes the views of some other scriptures in Hinduism. Here some fundamental things are worth noting, so we will discuss briefly. In our Sanatana Dharma, we look upon Veda as the primary scripture. And later for clarification and elaboration, we know all this. I am just only put them in perspective. For clarification and elaboration, later on, of the Vedic teaching, we have secondary scriptures like Puranas, Itihasas, Smriti Granthas, all that. It's a very vast literature. And all of them, they are all secondary to primary Veda. Among them, we have a set called Agama Granthaha, a set of Agamas or Tantra. They are all Tantra Shastras. Many of them are there. And the word Agama and Tantram, they are used synonymously many times. And these Agama Granthas, they focus on the worship of various deities. Because even though Bhagavan is one, he is given several forms for the sake of worship. We don't have several gods, but we have got several forms for worshipping one formless God. As we say many times, there is only God. There is not even one God. There is only God. God being infinite and all-pervading, God cannot have any particular form. So the all-pervading space doesn't have any form. But worshipping formless God is difficult. Therefore, we have several forms. Shiva form, Vishnu form, during Navaratri, Devi form, all kinds of things. I mean, even for one deity, Krishna, we have got different types of Krishna, Bala Krishna, adult Krishna, Radha Krishna, Gita Krishna, teacher of Bhagavad Gita. Thus, several forms. So, Agama Shastra concentrates on worshipping a particular form of deity, and we have several such Agamas. And all the Shaiva Agamas, they will focus on what? How to worship Shiva. How to build a Shiva temple, how to do Nitya Aradhana, how to conduct all Brahmotsavas and all these big festivals for Shiva. When the temple gets old, we have to do also Kumbhabhishekam, Re-Kumbhabhishekam, Jirnodharana Kumbhabhishekam, all that. So all these details regarding Shiva Aradhana in a public place as well as in private houses, for example, Panchayatana Puja, all those things are all, they are all details, they are all given in Shaivagamas. Similarly, in Vaishnava Agamas, it will talk about Vishnu Aradhana. And Shakta Agama will talk about Devi Aradhana. Thus, we have got several Agama Granthas. And we accept all the Aradhanas along with various rituals. Even these Aradhanas are accepted for getting what? Chitta Shuddhi. We incorporate. So, that is how Shankaracharya is called Shanmatastapaka. You worship in any form. Vishnu or Shiva or Devi or Ganapati or Surya, anybody. All are equally efficacious. And there is no superiority or inferiority. If, for example, if you remember the Bhagavad Gita shloka, yo yo yam yam tanum bhaktaha shraddhaya architam icchati tasya tasya achalam chalam yo yo yam yam tanum bhaktaha shraddhaya architam icchati tasya tasya achalam shraddham tameva vidadhamyaham. So any form, and not only that, we sometimes add new forms also. For example, this Santoshi Mata Puja, you know, this is a recent puja. It's all from recent times. If you worship Mata, all desires are supposed to be fulfilled. But Santoshi Mata, one should be, you know, he should be contented with whatever you have, Santosha. And now what they say, you worship Mata, then you can get everything. So Santoshi itself, you know, supposed to be a contented person. And Agama Shastra means how to give form to them. What should be the Ashtotra Archana? What should be the Sahasranam Archana? Naivedyam? What kind of Naivedyam should be put for what occasion? What is our view? Worship in any? All that thing. So, our view for the Vedanta standpoint, one can worship any form. So, all the Agamas are accepted by our Dharma. for Ishwara Aradhana and Chitta Shuddhi and incorporated as an integral part of Karma Yoga. So, but unfortunately what happened? All these agamas, what they are all introduced their own spirituality and started talking about their own moksha and method of getting that moksha. Unfortunately, the moksha and the means of moksha they talk about are both contradictory to the original Veda Pramanam and also contradictory to logical reasoning also. So, Shruti Yukti Anubhava Virodaha. In Brahma Sutra, there is a discussion of Shaiva Agama, Vaishnava Agama and Vyasacharya refutes them showing their impropriety. And what is the common flaw in all of them? They all say, moksha is my going to a particular place. Vaishnava Agama talks about Vaikuntha. Shaiva Agama talks about Kailasha. When somebody dies, what they say? He reached Shivaloka Prapti. Shaiva Agama, they talk about moksha as a place somewhere. And Shakta Agama talks about Shripuram and all that. And Hare Krishna people, they talk about Goloka Brindavanam. There is a Goloka Brindavanam, Goloka. So, they have earmarked their own place for moksha. And very sure that alone is moksha also. They are so much sure about all that. So, they also add that by going to that place, this person will become eternal. How? By remaining an individual. So, you go to Vaikuntha Loka or Kailasha Loka. Bhagavan will be there and I will be also there. I will be limited by my place with my own body. I can eternally serve the Lord. And this eternal service will be done to Lord in the respective place. As a Shiva Bhakta, eternally serving Shiva. And that service they call as Kaikariyam. So this enjoying the beauty and serving the Lord eternally, they consider that as moksha. This is the spirituality of all Agama Granthas. Now Acharya says, you use the puja given in all Agama Granthas. In fact, Lalita Sahasranamam, Navaratri Puja, they are all based on Agamas only. Acharya says, do all of them. Do Navaratri nicely. Keep all the dolls, Kolu and all that thing, do it. All these things are wonderful. But their philosophy part, you reject. Because moksha cannot be a particular place. Any place you talk about will be limited or unlimited. It will have to be only limited. It is not there, it is elsewhere. They go to Vaikuntha because Vaikuntha is not here. So it cannot be unlimited. Vaikuntha is located somewhere. Similarly, Kailasa also located somewhere. So how can a located Vaikuntha or Kailasa be eternal? How can a located Bhakti be eternal? And how can a located Vishnu or Shiva be eternal? So if Vishnu is a person located somewhere, that Vishnu also must be logically eternal. It cannot be. So if Vishnu can be located and eternal, then why can't I be located? He can be located right here itself. He has to be somewhere else. Same way Shiva also. So we are located and non-eternal. And if Vishnu is a particular God, Shiva is a particular God located, then logically Vishnu, Shiva or Devi, they also cannot be eternal. Vedanta very, very clearly says, we just now did it, yatra nanyat pasyati, nanyat shrunoti, nanyat vijanati, sa bhuma, yovai bhuma, tadamrutam. So divisionless reality alone is moksha. Advaitam alone can be moksha. This is the argument. Dvitiyadvai bhayam bhavati. Dvaitam bhayam bhavati. Thus, using the Upanishadic teaching, both Vyasacharya and Shankaracharya in all his Prasthanatrayabhashyas established that all Agama philosophy is wrong, but you can take Agama pujas. Pramanas are Agama. Philosophy is not to be taken, but pujas can be taken for the sake of Chitta Shuddhi and all that. And in this shloka, especially this shloka, because it mentions Vaikuntha, it can be anybody, but Adi Shankara, his Ishta Devata is Gopala. Perhaps that may be the reason. He might have taken this, I don't know. So especially for the Vaishnava, he mentions the name also here, so Vaikuntha Lokadishu. So Sarvasya Anityatve, everything that is available here is established as Anityam for two reasons. One reason is already said, it is born out of Brahman. And second reason, Sa avayavatvena. Sa avayavam means that which has got form, parts, limbs and all that. Physical body is sa avayavam or niravayavam. It is sa avayavam with several parts. That is why as we age, one by one all parts they depart. That is why it is called departure. The hair will depart, thereafter teeth will depart. You know, that is one person jokingly, he wrote, it seems, he wrote a shloka. The teeth were very proud, it seems, that they were the whitest part on the face. So then the hair started to get gray, right? It started to get gray, then it started to become white and very white and overtook the whiteness of the teeth. Then the teeth felt ashamed and decided to quit. That is called old age. He wrote a shloka like that. So parts are that which that will fall apart and depart also. Therefore, yathu savayavam tathu anityam. And any place in the world is anityam. And if Bhagavan is also a person with limbs, then Bhagavan will also be anityam. That is why we say, any form is a representative of the formless God only, just as the flag, for example, of a nation is not the nation itself, but represents the nation. There is a bird representing the nation, like that. So every vigraha, every murti, they all represent the formless Lord. Very, very important. So sarvatam siddhe. When it is totally established, vaikuntadishu nityatvam ati. There is the misconception that Vaikuntha, Kailasa, Sripuram, Goloka, Vrindavanam, they are all eternal. In Christianity and Islam also, they talk about an eternal heaven. All of them are not logical. If you say Vaikuntha is another name for Brahma, then it is okay. Vaikuntha is not a place, it is the name of Brahman. That is, in Vishnu Sahasranam also, he is Vaikuntha Purusha Pranaha. Similarly, Kailasha is the name of Brahman. If we say, that is true. In Kashi Panchakam, Shankaracharya, he says, Kashi is the name of Brahman. Kashate sarvatra prakashate iti Kashi. Sarvagatam Brahma. Thus, Kailasha as Brahman is eternal. But as a place, it can never be eternal. So, nityatvam ati. The delusion that they are all eternal is what? Brahmaha eva. It is a false conclusion. Brahma. Made by whom? Muda buddhina, by those people who are mudaha. Mundaka Upanishad says, these people are mudaha. Later it says, vimudaha. Put a visheshanam also. Continuing. So, anityatvam cha nityatvam, evam yachriti yukti bihim, vivechanam nitya nitya viveka iti kathyate. Shloka 21. Here, the Acharya concludes the first topic of qualification, namely, what is the topic? Viveka. So then Vairagya Master comes. So Viveka topic is going to be concluded in this shloka. Vivechanam. Vivechanam means discriminating and distinctly understanding. Anityatvam, nityatvam cha. The world is anityam. God is nityam. World is ephemeral. God alone is eternal. Iti vivechanam. This clear understanding. During this period, the seeker doesn't know where he stands. He has not asked the question whether he comes under the Nitya Vastu category or Anitya Vastu category. He has not asked the question yet. He has got the false opinion about himself, taking it for granted. And what is the false opinion? That I am a mortal individual with the date of birth and I will die one day. But he has not made any conclusion. Here the conclusion is regarding the world and God. God is eternal. World is ephemeral. Iti vivechanam. And what type of vivechanam it is? Shruti yukti bihi. By using all the relevant pramanas. That is a firm conviction. It is like when we are young and healthy, we generally don't know the value of health. And so we violate all the rules of health. But in old age, we go one day to dentist, one day to ortho, one day to somebody else. We are not able to do many things. We incur lot of expenses. We get lot of worry. And that is when the beautiful statement says what? Good health without disease is the real wealth. So if that becomes more and more powerful and meaningful also. And even if you don't have anything, it is okay if you have got good health. Similarly, this nitya nitya vastu vivekaha. When we are young, we have some idea, but we do not feel the full impact until we become 60, 70, 80. Even though we say world is ephemeral and God is eternal, only when we grow old, it becomes a conviction. The unfortunate thing is what? By the time it becomes a conviction, we are ready to quit. Therefore, Shankaracharya says, Shruti Yukti Bihi Vivechanam. Thorough conviction is called Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivekaha. So, Vivekaha, actually, it was covered from slokas 16 to 21. So many shlokas about Viveka was covered up to 21. Now we enter to the next second qualification from shloka 22, Vivekam and then Vairagyam. That is what we are going to enter from shloka 22. We will read. Aihika mushmikartheshu henityatvena nischayat naisprahyam tuccha buddhyayat tadvairagyam ithiryate. Vairagyam, we know, means dispassion. Ragaha means passion or attachment. It's a very strong and emotional clinging, deep attachment, deep passion. That is called ragaha. Viragaha or vairagyam, both are synonymous, dispassion. Dispassion towards what? The entire anitya prapancha, which is broadly classified into two of them. The anitya prapancha is classified into two, ihaloka padarthaha, and paralokam padarthaha. Aihikam arteshu. Aihikam means ihabhavaha. Aihikam means adjective to artaha. All the things and beings belonging to this world, this ihaloka. Then amushmin bhavaha. So amushmika artaha means amushmikaha. Amushmin means in the higher lokas. Yeah, the Puranas, they describe the beautiful Swargaloka and all those things, where you go, there is you can be a youth for all the time, you can be 17 all the time, never become 70, very, very important. So enjoy everything and then disappear suddenly one day. All things are available, so Kamadenu is available, Kalpakavriksham is available, so you just ask, think about Chintamani is available, think whatever you get. There are chances that some people may get, you know, like Nachiketas in Katopanishad, you know. They are all those things, they are all wonderful. Yamadharma Raja offered all of them to him. So all Apsaras, Ramba, Urvashi, Menaka, dance, music, everything is all offered. Wonderful. Keep it with yourself. Aihika, Amushmika, Arteshu, Vishayeshu, in all of them, Naisprihyam. That is what the second line is given. That means dispassion. Naisprihyam is another word for dispassion. Like Vairagyam, Naisprihyam. So, Vairagyam, Nirgata Aspriha, Yasmat Saham, Nispriham, Tasya Bhavaha, Naisprihyam. So, dispassionate state, we can call it. And this dispassion is not the grapes are sour dispassion. You know that story, grapes are sour, like the fox. Here, the Vairagyam must be such, even when something is freely offered, we should say no. Vairagyam is even if something is freely available, if you say no, then only it is called Vairagyam, born out of real reasoning discrimination. Therefore, Anityatve Nanischayaha. Because of the conviction that they are Anitya only, and how Anityatvam, and how Anityam, Tuchya Buddhya, they are all worthless, Tuchyam, in comparison to Moksha. Dharma, Artha and Kama, they are all Tuchyam compared to Moksha. Among finite things, there can be gradation. Like, for example, if you take $10 and $100, $100 is far superior, 10 times more powerful than $10. But if you really compare $10 and $100 or $1,000 to infinite, what is the difference between 10 and 100? The distance between 10 and infinity and the 10 and 1,000 and infinity are both same only. So therefore, both of them are equally tucham compared to the infinity. So this we should understand. Finite is finite. That attitude is called tuccha buddhihi. Tuccha means worthless from the standpoint of moksha. So tuccha buddhya, this one they are called naisprakam. Dispassion comes, that is called vairagya. And very important side note here is that when we say, this I mentioned in some other lectures also, when we say dispassion with respect to the world, that does not mean we have to hate the world. It is not hatred towards the world. One should be very careful. If attachment is harmful, hatred of the world also is equally harmful. Maybe even more harmful. Therefore, vairagya means freedom from attachment, and we should add freedom from hatred also. never hate the world. Adveshta sarvabhutanam. That's what Krishna said. Therefore, vairagyam does not mean hatred or rejection of the world. Then what does it mean? The world does not deserve to be the goal of my life because it is anityam, it is ephemeral. Only that much. If I give goal status to anything in the world, that is mudabuddhihi. But Shastram says, even though the world is not the goal, the world alone is the means through which one has to attain God. Anatma cannot be sadhyam. World is anatma. It cannot be the goal. But anatma alone is the sadhanam through which one has to attain the atma. For karma yoga, you have to use the world. For upasana yoga, you have to use the world. Similarly, family also. Never hate family or reject the family. One cannot say, I am a great Vedantin. I don't need all this family and all. Grihastha stage is also called an ashrama, indicating that Grihastha ashrama is also a very important ashrama, which is not to be hated, because Grihastha ashrama also is a means for practicing karma yoga and upasana yoga. The entire anatma prapancha must be respected as a means, just as we have to respect the plate and then wash it, even though what you want to eat is not the plate, it's on the plate. Because without the plate, one cannot eat. Similarly, physical body also. Never treat it as a goal, but remember, physical body is extremely important. Sthiraihi angaihi tushtu vagum saha tanubihi. This is what Shantipatra says. Sthirai rangaihi tushtu vagum saha tanubihi. Where does it come from? Oh Lord, let me have a healthy body. To sit in class also for 1 hour, you require a healthy body. Therefore, vairagyam. So, vairagyam doesn't mean hatred. Vairagyam doesn't mean rejection also. Hold the world. Use the world as a means, but do not treat it as an end. This is called vairagyam. So, what is vairagyam now? Do not treat the world as a goal, but respect the world very much as a means. So, as we said in the first webinar, this entire text has got 1006 shlokas, and even Sadhana Chaturthiya Sampatti itself is now in about 250 shlokas. So, we are going to only take some selected shlokas. Actually, I am only discussing the same shlokas which Swami Paramarthananda has discussed also, because he has already done the homework of picking the... Yesterday I was talking to Swami Mukhananda also. He was telling also the 115 shlokas that are picked selectively to be discussed under this topic. So I will go only by the same reasoning whatever both the Swamiji have taught. So we are going to skip several shlokas in between. Now in this Vairagyam topic, the entire topic extends for a long stretch of number of shlokas. So we are going to now jump about 40 shlokas from here, and we will go from 22nd shloka to shloka number 62, because all shlokas in between, they all talk about vairagyam only. Actually, vairagyam in very dramatic way also, the acharya describes a lot of them. All those shlokas are this thing. As I told, the book I showed you that day, it gives the translation of all these shlokas, and if one is interested, one can just go through all of them. They all talk about only the vairagyam as the main topic in all of them. So now we are going to skip to the next topic, namely kama. Kama se shloka 62. Kama se vijayopayam sukmam vakshyamyaham satam sankalpasya parityagaha upaya sulabhomataham. So all the 40 shlokas we have skipped, indicating that Shankaracharya has written so many verses on vairagyam. And those who have got this book, they can, as I told you, can go through that and just to read the meaning. They are only descriptive meanings, and we don't have to discuss them in detail. So now Acharya is talking about how to handle kama, desire. Previously he talked about freedom from raga, now attachment. Now he talks about, we have told earlier also, the difference between attachment and love. All those things we should remember when we talk about these things. Now he is talking about freedom from kama, indicating he Shankaracharya, he treats raga and kama as synonymous, even though there is a subtle difference. Raga is what attachment is with respect to the possessed objects, and kama is with respect to objects not possessed yet. In both of them, I cling on to the object. All those objects which I possess, I have attachment, raga. All those objects which I want, I desire, I have any attachment to them because I cling on to them. And how to avoid the development of kama. That is what Acharya is going to discuss about it. Because with respect to kama or desire, prevention is better than cure. Most important, kama, desire, prevention is better. Like many diseases, once they come, curing is very difficult. And even if you cure, we can never be totally normal as before. Its impact also is so powerful. Therefore, with respect to certain problems, prevention is better than cure. So the Acharya says, I will tell you how to avoid kama. I will give you the tips. So kamasya vijaya upayam. Upayam means method or means for conquering kama. Vijaya means conquering, mastering or conquering kama. Desire for any object in the creation. For example, you know, so many objects. We want to avoid these things. So he says how to conquer. Sukshmam, which is a very, very subtle but effective method. So, Vijayam, I shall tell you aham vakshyami. Vakshyami means I am going to tell you the secret. Satam means for the intelligent people who are willing to take this satam. And what is that? Sankalpasya parityagaha. I will give you the exact meaning. For example, we'll do it in due course. But now for the moment, we will only tell what Acharya intends. That we will describe first. No desire for any object that will rise in the mind suddenly. The object will first become a known object. When it falls within the range of my mind and sense organs, it becomes a known object from an unknown object. Right? I did not know that object till now. Now my eyes have seen it. I developed a liking and reported to the mind. Okay. So once you get it, because the job of the mind and sense organs are only reporting the object as is. And at that time, there is only knowledge of the objects. There is no desire. So if that knowledge of the object has to get converted into desire, it requires lot of cooperation from our mind and intellect. Because it is an expensive, for example, you go and want to buy something, some ornament or some dress, whatever it is. Because it is expensive, it also requires a lot of cooperation from the mind. What is that? Mind goes on dwelling on that object. And that cannot happen without my support. And this goes around and around. Then the mind begins to add certain values to that object, which it does not have originally. It is called, shobhanadhyasaka, adding extra fancy to all that thing and attractive features to that. That whatever it does not have, we act like we say, oh, by getting it, I get peace, I get security, I get happiness, all that we add to the object by itself doesn't have any of them. I add all of them. All these three basic things. What are those basic things? Peace, security, happiness, all of them. The object by itself doesn't have, but my mind, because of its attachment, it gives all those values to that object. So then, if I purchase, there is happiness. Or the mind imagines that my status or my ahankara, my ego or prestige will be enhanced if I wear that particular dress or that ornament. So all those things. So the ahankara value will get enhanced. And not only that, my prestige and status in society will shoot up. Oh, this person, how nicely he is dressed. What kind of valuable things, what kind of car he is driving. So everybody will look at me and say, wow, in our language. For I should become a head turner. Everybody should turn towards me and everybody should look at with envy. Owner's pride, neighbor's envy, all that thing we have heard. So we have to go on. So doing this thing. So these are all desire. So from knowledge to desire. So for an observant mind, there is so much time between knowledge and desire. The intellectual also starts to think. The same ornaments are better ornaments so many rich people have. And they don't have happiness all the time. With all the riches, they continue to be miserable still. With some committing even suicide also. That means what? Money and all these possessions alone cannot give happiness and security. The intellectual mind thinks. And a little bit, Anvaya Vetireka also we can introduce here. Yatra yatra jewelry, tatra tatra happiness. I don't know whether we can say that or not. There are so many people without anyone, any of them, but they are very happy also. And there are many people with all of them, and they are miserable also. From that it is clear that external object cannot add to happiness. If the intellect stops and thinks, it can, but it refuses to think and follows everybody else down that path. Before a particular thing comes, a festival comes, all shops are full. So we also follow everybody else like, you know, sheep without thinking. That is why Lord Krishna says in the third chapter, you know, Indriyani, Mano, Buddhi. Three instruments, Indriyas, Manas and Buddhi, they contribute to desire. The sense organs contributing is sending the object inside the mind. The sense organs, you hear a nice sound, it reports to the mind. You see a nice object, reports to the mind. And once it is reported to the mind, gone. If you don't see at all, no problem. If you hear it, see it, smell it, touches it, touch you and then report to the mind, then problem starts. So the sense organs send the object inside. Then what does the mind do? Jayato vishayan pumsaha sangasteshu pajayate sangat sanjayate kamaha. The sense organs push the objects, the mind meditates on the objects. People say, we don't meditate. Actually, Lord Krishna says, we do meditate a lot. Only the object of meditation only is different. So we keep on dhyanam on that objects. This is mind's contribution. And the intellect's delusion contributes to the final thing. What is that thinking? That which, with that object alone, my status will go up. Intellect makes the determination. Without that, I cannot survive. I cannot be. I cannot even be myself without that object. People go to any extent. So it is nice and then worth having. And without that, I cannot survive. These are the, so modaha, priyaha, modaha, pramodaha. Upanishad says that. So tasya priyame vasharaha shiraha modo dakshina pakshaha pramoda uttara pakshaha. So all these things, it is worth having. It looks nice, then worth having, and without that I cannot survive. Then I am hooked. Between this jnanam and iccha, the desire, that intermediary state is called sankalpa. Sankalpa has several meanings. But here sankalpa means dwelling on the object and attributing values which it does not have. So that is one. So this is one. Sanyaktvena kalpanam is called the fancy. And therefore he says, sankalpasya parityagaha. The moment the meditation happens, let the red signal burn. I am slowly getting trapped into this. Instantaneously turn the attention away. Actually, we are going to see this later. So sankalpasya parityagaha. Elsewhere, actually, in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, sankalpa, sankalpa bhavan kamana. So, any desire is born out of mentally dwelling on the object. Sankalpasya parityagaha is the upaya, is the method. And this method is sulabaha. He says, it's very, very easy. Anything in the beginning state is very feeble. Like, for example, when there is a plant, it is growing on a wall, let us say. Sometimes it happens. In the walls also, you know, the plants and all, they happen. When it is in the form of a small sprout or a small plant, one can easily pull it down with just a hand, bare hand. But if you neglect that, the plant will become a huge tree one day. And then it might even destroy the entire wall itself. Similarly, one can put out a spark easily, but if it becomes a huge conflagration of fire, even the best firefighters would find it very difficult to put that off. So sankalpa is handleable, kama is unhandleable. Sankalpa, in some other place we have described sankalpa also as a first thought. Many times, you know, this is between prarabdha and our reasoning, free will. Prarabdha will push you the first thought. Sankalpa is the first thought when you look at something that is pushed by prarabdha. But whether to nurture it and grow it or to trim it, that is the job of the intellect. There we have the free will to make sure how we want to deal with it. This is the warning. So upayaha is handling the sankalpa according to shastra. So this is about kama. He is now starting it. Maybe I will do the next shloka in the next webinar, shloka 64. I will slip the next 63. I will slip for 64.
यो वेदादौ स्वरप्रोक्तो वेदान्ते च प्रतिष्ठितः तस्य प्रकृतिलीनस्य यः परः स महेश्वरः श्रीकृष्णार्पणमस्तु नारायणः।